I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Tell Me Your Story. Today, my guest Lynn McTaggart will be sharing with us information about the Intention Experiment. What is it? Well, it's a series of web-based experiments that are basically designed to show us just exactly how powerful our thoughts really are in changing the physical world. It's open to anyone, and you can go to the website we'll tell you about in just a little bit. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story. Don't go away. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for staying tuned to Tell Me Your Story. This is a program with new paradigms for a new world, your world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices so that you can help make your dreams come true. My guest today is Lynn McTaggart. She's award-winning author of 5 books, including the international best-selling sensation The Field and The Intention Experiment. She is an internationally recognized spokesperson on the science of spirituality. She's also editor of a written master class called Living the Field, the first comprehensive 4-year part work on how the findings of new science impacts your everyday life. Now, her company also holds highly popular conferences and workshops on health and spirituality. Now, the Intention Experiment is a series of web-based experiments with Lynn McTaggart and leading scientists around the world to test the powers of our thoughts to change the physical world. She and her husband, Brian Hubbard, publish What Doctors Don't Tell You, the world's most well-respected health newsletter, books and online information on alternative health. And Lynn and Brian also run a website called Proof, P-R-O-O-F, which tests branded natural products and determines which alternative remedies work best for particular conditions. Now, we're going to be giving you websites like intentionexperiment.com. That's intentionexperiment.com. You can check that out. Also, wddty.co.uk. That stands for What Doctors Don't Tell You. .co.uk. WDDTY.co.uk. And again, you can get all of this by just going to my website, richarddugan.com. Go to the shows page and the page 4 at the present time. Scroll down to October the 18th. Lynn McTaggart's name is there. It is also a link to her website and all of this wonderful information. So we certainly hope that you will avail yourself of it, and we encourage you to stay tuned. We have more coming up in regards to Lynn McTaggart. She's going to be joining us in just a moment. We ask you also to contact us, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. Stay tuned. We have more coming up. Lynn McTaggart will be our guest in the next segment, and we don't want you to miss one thing. And if you do miss anything, or you want to share it with friends, go to richarddugan.com. You can download the program after the broadcast is over. It'll be available for you to do just that. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Countries and every continent on Antarctica, every continent except Antarctica, with the top 10 countries ranked as follows: the United States, Canada, the UK, the Netherlands, South Africa, Germany, Australia, Belgium, Spain, and Mexico. Now, nevertheless, intenders also came from many far-flung quarters of Trinidad, Mongolia, Nepal to Guadeloupe, Indonesia, Malay, Dominican Republic, and Ecuador. People participated from all manner of computers, not only PCs and Macs, but also iPhones, iPods, and Danger hip-tops. So, heartfelt thanks to all of you who, and we make sure to give Australia's friendlier time of the day with the next experiment. Apparently it was in the middle of the night. Basically, the information that is available to you through her blog is available at intentionexperiment.com, and just click on the blog and you can get all this information. I mean, and there is a lot of it. Now, again, a reminder that my guest, Lynn McTaggart, will be joining us in just a few moments. She's award-winning author, as I've mentioned, of 5 books, and you can check those out. Living the Field is one of them. The Intention Experiment, WDDTY, is another one. And Lynn and Brian also, Brian is her husband, also run a website called Proof, P-R-O-O-F, which tests branded natural products and determines which alternative remedies work best for particular conditions. Now, we hope to have Lynn back on the program again in the future to talk more about this, but today we're going to focus exclusively on the intention experiment and what all that means. I want you to stay with us. We have more coming your way with Lynn McTaggart here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to hear from you. Send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. The website, richarddugan.com, spelled the same. And we'd love to have you check out the website, check out the links to all of our guests, as well as listen to previous shows. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan, and stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and it's a pleasure to have on the phones, all the way from London, England, Lynn McTaggart. She's the author of The Intention Experiment, as well as The Field and Living the Field, and several other endeavors we're going to jump into. Welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Richard. It's wonderful to be here.
You've also been involved in a movie that many people have probably seen called What the Bleep. And that was an interesting and fascinating film in and of itself, and I know there was a sequel. I'm curious, first of all, how you became involved in that particular project. Then we're going to jump into this whole aspect of the intention experiment.
Well, I got involved just because I came out with a book just when Will was thinking about doing this movie. And he was delighted to see that I had synthesized a lot of material. So he had been really keen for me to be in the original Bleep, but I had a small child then, so it was difficult for me to fly over there. But so he caught me second time around when he did Down the Rabbit Hole, and I was speaking at one of his conferences, and so we did the filming together. So it was great. And we've been, you know, very interested in on, you know, great parallel paths.
Well, this whole subject of getting what you want. I mean, a lot of people these days, and we can certainly refer to current events, don't feel like they're getting what they want. Things seem like they're falling apart. The wheels are falling off the apple cart, as it were. But then there are others who are achieving the things that they're here to do, their purpose in life, however you want to phrase that. And you've been involved in this, what's called the intention experiment. And as of this recording, you had just held one that is web-based. First of all, tell us about the intention experiment. What is that experiment about?
Well, I was very interested in the whole thing about the power of intention, Richard, and moving beyond the whole idea of using it to get more stuff,
mm-hmm.
because that's really what, you know, we'd seen manifestation has been largely written about, you know, how to, you know, think about it and you'll get yourself a bicycle or a car or a fabulous job. And I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, there's probably a big spiritual component here.
Mm-hmm.
If we're, you know, talking about this tremendous power of the mind and consciousness to affect physical matter, then, you know, surely we can use it for something better and more important, you know, like alleviating the catalog of suffering on the planet. So I wanted to test this, first of all, by collecting all the material there is on the science of intention, which I did in my book, The Intention Experiment, but also carrying on an ongoing experiment to really push the boat out to see how far we can take this. So the book is not just a book, it's also an experiment. And what I've done is I've gathered together scientists from around the world who are working with me, and periodically we run an experiment. And we, you know, we have targeted all sorts of things, from water and plants to peace. And I periodically ask my readers to come on the website and send an intention to do something, to, you know, whether it is to make a plant grow faster or to change the quality of water or to lower violence in Sri Lanka, as we did recently. And we've been getting some really interesting results so far. We've run 14 experiments, and we certainly know 12 of them have shown a significant effect. One was an uncertain effect, and we're still waiting for the results of the peace intention experiment.
We're going to take a break here, and we'll get back to Lynn McTaggart in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. I hope you're enjoying the program. We encourage you to go to the website, richarddugan.com. Check out Lynn McTaggart in the interview, and it'll be available following this program. And we look forward to hearing from you. Email richard@richarddugan.com, and also check out the intentionexperiment.com. That's intentionexperiment.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Our guest today is Lynn McTaggart, and she's talking to us all the way from London, England, which is a wonderful thing. And she's written a number of books, The Intention Experiment, Living the Field, as well as the book The Field. You can check all of this out at her website, intentionexperiment.com. And she's also been involved, along with her husband, with a project called What Doctors Don't Tell You. And that's www.wddty, that's What Doctors Don't Tell You, .co.uk. You can check out that information. She's also been involved in a couple of films. One of them was Down the Rabbit Hole and, of course, What the Bleep. And I know that there have been several movies out. They were put out by Hollywood dealing with, for example, the movie where Jim Carrey becomes God and initially starts just doing weird stuff and having all kinds of strange things happen for his own personal gratification and so forth. And then sort of starts to get the message and then begins to realize, well, gee, maybe I can really help people, which didn't work out real well either, as we see in that movie. Some people might view the intention experiment and this whole process maybe along the same lines, and maybe what you said at the outset is maybe something that people don't think about as much, or maybe they do, and maybe that's something I'd ask you to comment on is the way that people are perceiving the intention experiment and what you're all about. Again, not getting more stuff or achieving personal things, but more on a global level, more on a interpersonal level, shall we say?
I think that there's something really simple here, and it just comes down to this. The world is falling apart around us. We see this. Our economic model has fallen apart. We've allowed it to. The planet is under fire. There are wars all around the world. Lots of bad things are going on. Our climate is suffering, from all of our endeavors. And our endeavors have really been about very much individual endeavors. You know, getting more stuff for me, my significance at everybody else's expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think an entirely new paradigm has to come about. And so what I'm trying to do, and this is, you know, fairly a very ambitious undertaking, is to look at this with science and to, in a sense, create a new scientific story. Because the old one, the old story that we're given in science is very much about us being a separate object operating according to fixed laws in time and space. And the scientific story we're given very much by Darwin is that, you know, it's survival of the fittest, that life out there is more or less boils down to eat or be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a very different scientific story coming to the fore with many of the scientists I've spoken to that talk about us being part of a larger whole, a universal energy field, and affecting that at every moment and being affected at every moment, which suggests that we're operating in relationship all the time. And it's my contention that what's really important is for us to come together and recognize, acknowledge, and live according to that connection. And what I am finding is not just large groups and large intentions, but I've also been running workshops around the country and around the U.S. and elsewhere, bringing together little groups of 8 people and 10 people and having them send healing to each other. And we're getting really remarkable results, astonishing results, where you know, people report. We have it over a 3-day weekend, and we do it on Saturday, and on Sunday, the people come forward, and you know, we'll have typically an hour's worth of testimonials of people standing up and saying, you know, I had pain in my leg for the last 20 years, and it's gone. Or one woman stood up and said, I had an opacity in one eye, and I could barely see, and it's 80% better. And we're as astonished as everyone. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. And I think it's all about this power of connection that has been lost. So when you say, is this something that's bad? Like, are we overstating or over, you know, are we overstepping our purpose on Earth? I think our purpose is to help each other, and mm-hmm. that's the only purpose we've got.
Well, I know,
and
so
the only thing that we can do.
Right.
And so we have to start, and I think your question's a really good one, Richard, because, you know, you say, well, are we being vain? Are we being arrogant?
Are we playing God in one sense?
Are we playing God? Well, I think that what we have to do is approach this with baby steps. And what I've tried to do with a lot of the experiments is to try it bit by bit. I mean, we started out just trying to affect a leaf, and we found we had a significant effect. The leaf scent intention bias had, you know, we tried to just change its light emissions. We know now, scientists know, that all living things send out a tiny current of light.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to make the light increase, and we had a huge significant effect. This was with a group in London sending intention to a leaf in Tucson, Arizona, in the laboratory of Dr. Gary Schwartz. And we did the same with, you know, we tried and ran 6 experiments, sometimes over the Internet, inviting our readers around the world. Other times at conferences, whenever I would speak somewhere around the world, I'd run one of these. And we had 6 experiments, seeing if we could make plants sprout earlier and grow faster with our thoughts. And we had 6, you know, positive results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each time we had significant results. We tried 3 experiments with water, 2 of them trying to change light emissions from water, which would indicate we'd change something about their molecular cluster structure. Water molecules cluster together in different configurations, almost like pieces of Lego. And if you can change that, the view is that healing water has different cluster structure than ordinary tap water. So there'd be big, big, big implications if you could do that. We found it in 2 out of the 3 that we had an effect. And then we took a big, 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 giant step with the peace intention experiment. But we don't know. I mean, our initial results show an initial increase and then a big plummeting of
mm-hmm.
violence in a very active area of Sri Lanka. But I have a team of scientists analyzing this at the moment to tell me whether or not we've had any effect. So we don't know yet, and this is only asking the question, but you do have to be really careful about it. I think that's an important aspect of it, which is why I won't do one on an individual,
mm-hmm.
say a child. I mean, it'd be a very easy experiment to be done, seeing if we could, you know, increase a child's attention with a child who has attention deficit. But, you know, I don't know if the effect of thousands of people sending intention on one person will blow their head off. So,
right.
You know, we don't know yet.
Exactly.
So you do have to be a bit careful playing God.
Well, our intention here is not to blow anybody's head off. Our intention here is to provide information that will expand your consciousness and maybe even expanding your thought process and all those good things. We want you to stay tuned with Lynn McTaggart, our guest. She is the author of The Intention Experiment, and she is going to be continuing our discussion here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and don't go away. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is coming all the way from London, England. Her name, Lynn McTaggart, author of The Field, as well as The Intention Experiment. And we are here talking about how our thoughts may or may not. This is the whole purpose of the intention experiment, and that is to see if our thoughts can actually change the future, can change our past, can change, I don't know, other people. And as you were talking in that last segment, Lynn, many other thoughts started to come to mind. Number one, I worked for a Christian radio station for 15 years when I first got into broadcasting almost 30 years ago. And it was one of the interesting aspects that I found was that this whole aspect of healing, for example, and I'm sure you're familiar with all of this. By the way, I do like the connection between science and spirituality that you are studying. It is very intriguing, not just from the overall standpoints that we've already discussed, that you've already discussed, but also in terms of the aspect of, for example, I know you're familiar with the modality, as I like to call it, of Reiki, that teaches that I am not sending this energy out for a specific purpose or intention. I am sending this to an individual to do with that energy in whatever way they choose. We did that for my father's brother who was dying of cancer. My wife and I sent him Reiki energy in a session that we did, and we did it absentee. We got a report back from my mother about a week later after he had passed that he had gained enough energy to get in his wheelchair and wheel across the compound where he and his family lived in Miami, Arizona, have some words, some closure with his son, have enough energy to throw his medication up against the wall saying, "I'm not taking this anymore." And then, within the next day or so, he laid down and he transitioned. So this is kind of where my question comes from, in as much as, yes, it's wonderful to have an intention and send that energy out, and maybe I'm not fully understanding, and that's why we're doing the program, the whole aspect of intention. But there was also a scientist in India by the name of Jagadish Chandra Bose who created a device called the Cresco Graph. And this is going back into the teens or the 20s, that was designed to measure the turgor pressure in a plant, similar to the blood pressure in a human. And what he found was the same kind of effects that you folks are finding, including the scientist who also measured the reaction of water crystals and emotions that were cast upon the water droplets, as it were. We've all seen those photographs of, you know, here's one that's been infused with the emotions of happy as opposed to sad or what have you. And those have been extraordinary. So we're seeing people doing these kinds of things down through history. And you're sort of picking up that baton, I was going to say gauntlet, but it's not a challenge, to try to figure out, number one, why we're here. They say we only use 10% of our brain, so I'm beginning to wonder if the other 90%, and maybe the percentage has gone up, I don't know, maybe we're using the other 90% to, maybe if that's part of our spirituality.
Yes, exactly.
So tell me, go ahead.
I think, I think that there is, because there seems to be, if you look at other animals, if you look at animals of all sorts, they're very psychic. They have an ability to read and do all sorts of things that we think we can't do. So I think that there is, yes, part of our, part of our brain is not being used as a, as the kind of receiver or sender mechanism that it could be. I think that there's, I think that there's a lot here. I think that it's been used through the ages. We've used intention. I should define the way I think of intention too, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it, a lot of people think that an intention is a power thought. It's a very focused thought that comes out and nothing else. And everything else is locked inside you. So the world and the universe only hears the focused stuff, only hears the ones that you want to send. But the evidence that we know in science is that we are sending and receiving a tiny current of light at every moment. We're sending and receiving quantum information all the time with the universe. And it's very subtle, but the universe hears it and responds. There's a lot of evidence to show that living things send back information synchronistically. So if that's the case, then we're sending and receiving at every moment. We're like leaky buckets. We're, sending all the time. So it's not just the power thoughts that get heard. It's everything. So in a sense, our lives become an intention. All of the mendacious thoughts, every last judgment we hold, all of that becomes an intention. So when I talk about intention, I talk about becoming conscious of what you're thinking. because I think that, you know, you may have one good positive thought, but all the rest of the stuff that you're thinking the rest of the time is the stuff that's getting heard too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start really becoming conscious of what it is you're thinking all the time, and try to basically go through some brain training and mind training to focus on exactly what you'd like. And I think the other thing I think about in intention is I think about it as being a connection, a reconnection in a sense. So whether it's a reconnection with Source, it's a reconnection with each other. So I focus, as I say, on the healing part of it, on the philanthropic part of it, because I think there's a big part of us that, you know, have that hardwired into us. And that's really where we, you know, intention is really focused, I believe.
What are your thoughts about disconnecting from those things that are distracting or in interfering with our wanting to have that intention, as you speak about, in terms of the collective, in terms of the all, in terms of a more benevolent intention, and instead of having those moments where we sit and we focus our intention on that benevolent or selfless, if you will, sending of energy, like in Reiki or through these intention experiments. I mean, as you know, I mean, I don't know if you watch television anymore or if you read the newspapers. Mm-hmm. Certainly we're impacted by the energies of those
sure.
who do, but we don't have to keep taking that stuff in. And I'm wondering what your feelings on that
we
are.
We don't have to keep taking that stuff in, and that is absolutely such a good point, Richard. In the main, I try to avoid papers that I don't need. I've been reading the papers recently to try to understand a little bit about what happened with the economy, but I oftentimes don't read it. I figure there's nothing in myself and in my soul that needs to know about yet one more child being killed,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a mother. I don't need to have that, or I'm going to overprotect my kids. So I try to filter what I read so that it doesn't just get into my bones and my psyche and start infecting my intentions. And the same thing with the economy. I'm reading now stories of people looking at it and saying, well, actually there's a real silver lining here. And I'm starting to read that and try to work with that and think about, you know, what's this all about? And I think get clear with that and hold that thought and hold that intention. I think it's about training yourself. It's about brain training, to train yourself to hold the positive and also to understand where negativity comes in. Now, in my workshops, and by the way, Richard, I've got one more I'm running before I dive back into my computer and write another book next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's on October 31st in Cape Cod.
Oh.
So it's Halloween at the beach. It's really going to be nice.
That should be fun.
And, and we, on these weekend workshops, we also deal a lot with looking at negative intention. And how to get out and understanding that negative intention really comes through us. And that I believe that the real way to stay away from getting consumed by negativity, whether it's other people or whatever, is to stay in your own divine purpose. You know, there is a great guy called Dr. John Diamond, who is basically the one who invented behavioral kinesiology. That's muscle testing and mm-hmm. testing for its ability to be demonstrate the power of toxic thoughts. And he's found that, you know, any kind of negative thinking, whether it's your tire is flat to your mother-in-law's at the door, will make your muscles go weak. And there is one thing that keeps your muscles strong no matter what you throw at it, and that is staying in your divine purpose. What were you put on this earth to do? You know, and that doesn't have to be a lofty job. It can be just, you know, I was put on the earth to bake the perfect angel food cake. Whatever it is that, you know, that mm-hmm. fills you with that kind of sense of the divine is the thing that keeps your muscles strong, the thing that connects you with the source. So I think a lot of times of just going back to that as your purpose, no matter what it is that comes at you, and stay with the real totality of that, that keeps you conscious of your thinking, and it keeps you strong against any kind of negativity.
Mm. We're talking with Lynn McTaggart, the author of The Intention Experiment, as well as The Field and Living with the Field, and three other books as well. And another one, a sixth book that's going to be coming out that you're going to start working on for next year, which we're very excited about as well. And what I would like to ask you now is, why? Why are you doing this?
What a great question, Richard. You ask great questions,
thank
I
you.
Have to say. I'm doing this because I fell into it. I ran a newsletter called What Doctors Don't Tell You. I've run it for 19 years, and I studied the medical literature. And in the course of doing that, I kept coming across studies of things like spiritual healing and homeopathy, and they sparked my interest and curiosity as to how this could be. If we could send a thought to someone else and make them better, then that completely undermines everything we think about how the world works. So I wanted to investigate it, and, you know, I'm just one of these reporters by trade, investigative reporter, who leaves no stone unturned. So I talked my publisher into letting me go on a journey without a compass, and I started speaking with scientists around the world, and that work basically developed into my work and my book, The Field. I think when I finished The Field, I sat back and I went to myself, oh, my goodness. What implications this has. If we are, you know, a part of a giant energy field, you know, and we're all connected, then this changes everything about how we should live. You know, we tell ourselves stories in order to live, said Joan Didion. And the biggest story we tell ourselves is a scientific one. And that scientific story pretty much dictates how we create our structures, our societal structures in our lives. And the scientific story we've been told is all about competition and separation. And that, in turn, has created our way that we educate people, our children, the way we set up our jobs, the way we think of ourselves in the world as one country against another country. And so I started thinking that if there's a new scientific story emerging, that you know, it's really important to start changing the story and changing the societal story, too. So I think that's become my passion, my real interest. And I think, just kind of morphed into it. But it is my passion now, and I think this is my work.
All of the books, of course, one leads into the next, which leads into the next, and all of the work that you do. So it's difficult for me to ask these next questions on a specific book, so we'll speak in general broad terms of the work that you are doing, and that is, and maybe in some senses you've already answered the question, what is it that you hope to achieve? What's your intent?
I hope to bring science to spirituality, mm-hmm. because you know, Western mind needs proof. And a lot of people are either stuck in a lot of dogma or an old story. And the scientists themselves have a hard time communicating. You know, oftentimes, you know, they're used to staying with their experimental data or thinking in code. You know, they think in math. So it's really difficult for them to translate that into something ordinary people can understand. But what they do understand is that they have uncovered some miraculous things that do bridge the gap between science and spirituality. And so I suppose I feel I'm a bit of a messenger in that I can understand what they're talking about, and I have the ability, luckily enough, to synthesize this and communicate it in a way that ordinary people understand. So I hope to show the miracle that people really are to themselves, to them, by making this stuff available.
And what's available to them is a plethora of things. It's an abundance of material that's out there, not only from you and your website and all of the information that you provide and the workshops that you hold as well, but from a myriad of different sources as well. And I would encourage people to check out the books, and in particular, The Intention Experiment, as well as your fourth book, The Field, which is fascinating in and of itself. The response by I don't know if I can put it this way, the heads of, or at least the representatives of the various religious groups around the world, regardless of what the religion is. What has been the response, if any, from those folks to what you're doing? Because in some circles, what you're doing is sacrilegious. There is no merging of science and spirituality. They are separate and distinct?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, it hasn't offended or ruffled any feathers in the religious communities, because I always say that this isn't against religion, it's approving of religion. Mm. It's approving that there's actually a scientific basis for it. I mean, you can call the field the source, God, the matrix, grace, whatever you want to call it, it fits in.
Mm-hmm.
And it fits into absolutely every religious discipline. And that's the interesting thing of it. So I'm not trying to bring in any dogma over another, but demonstrating that our need and our understanding of a divine source has always been there. It's been something inherent in human beings, and there's an evidence for it now, because the field answers everything that we think about.
Well, I know that we're doing a lot of that these days, thinking about all of this and trying to understand why we're here and why we're going through what we're going through.
I think we're going through what we're going through, I think, because we need to. Now, this may not be anything about anything that unfolds in a way that's understandable to us now,
mm-hmm.
but in my view, it's just a kicking away of the old paradigm. You know, as I said, we've created hell on earth because of our own sense of separation, and it's been magnified in the societal structures we've created, and now we've created a phony economic situation where people were investing in thin air, and some people were doing extremely well by it at the expense of many others.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to create something new. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be communism. It can be a much more compassionate and caring society, and I think that's what's really unfolding. That's the silver lining, and that's what we really have to focus on, and that's what my work attempts to focus on.
And as our work continues to focus on this program and new paradigms for a new world, we're going to keep the spotlight, as it were, or the microscope, if you will, on you, Lynn, and we'll talk more about the intention experiment and the field and all of these related subjects so that people can understand and they can go to the website and they can get more information, which is what it's all about, to broaden our horizons. I think that's kind of what we were told as children. You know, go to the library and read a book and broaden your horizons. You know, get a good education and broaden your horizons. Well, it's kind of what we're doing here, to try to help make this a better world, a better place for all of us. New paradigms for, well, how about a better world? New paradigms for a better world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan with Lynn McTaggart, and we will continue. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. As we enter our final segment here with Lynn McTaggart, she is the author of The Intention Experiment, as well as The Field, and you can participate in these intention experiments, and you can find out what the latest intention is about, this week's intention, on the website, intentionexperiment.com. And you can also find out more about all kinds of great things that she and her husband are involved in by going to that website. There are all kinds of links, good information, and we certainly would encourage you to do that. Well, I know that I've mentioned this to our listeners over the course of the last year that we've been doing this program, and even before then when in other interviews. I know there's another way to live. I know there's another way, whether it's economics or whatever the elements of the social structure that we want to talk about. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to keep searching for it. And that's part of the reason why we have folks such as yourself on, to give us some glimpse, some clues as to what that is, because you hold a piece of it, and then the next guest and the guest before you and on, everybody holds a piece of that. And that's why we're trying to put all of this together in that respect.
Well, I think, Richard, too, I mean, what I've noticed in our workshops, for instance, is what happens with just a small group of people. And people cry, and they hold on to each other, and these are perfect strangers before the weekend happens. And you see that connection, and you see that's what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
The connection is what really matters, and that's what people really need. You know, there have been studies showing that the biggest cause of stress isn't divorce, finances, or any of the usual indicators. It's isolation. And that studies of the lowest income Americans show that they're not stressed in any way as long as they have two things, a strong spiritual sense and a strong community. So I think that the real message going on here with this economic crisis,
mm-hmm.
is there's something much more important than money.
Well, I know that when it started happening, especially here in the States, with the Dow Jones dropping some 800 points, I've bounced a little, but what have you, I actually didn't feel bad. I actually had a certain level of elation thinking, there's something new coming. There's something different that we haven't tried on a national or a global level yet. And it goes, I think, to what you're talking about, and that is the connection or reconnection of humanity to humanity.
Absolutely, and I think that we never were meant to be alone. We never were meant to just achieve things at other people's expense. And, you know, a lot of people do believe that this is just going to quicken the new, the coming of the new paradigm. And I'm one of those too.
Well, we're certainly looking for all of the pieces that we can get, and we absolutely look forward to an opportunity to spend more time with you and to get more information out to the folks. How can people tell us how they can get a hold of you and or the work that you're doing? Obviously, the books in the bookstores, but if they wanted to participate, say, in an intention experiment that you're doing on the web, how would they do that?
Thank you, Richard. They would come to our website, www.theintentionexperiment.com, and we run intentions of the week, and they can participate. They just need to sign up, and they'll get information about what's going on with the intention experiments and the forthcoming peace intention experiments. And then if they want to come to our last workshops or find out more, they can come to www.theintentionworkshops.com.
I have one final question for you. As I think of this, and you made the reference to a peace intention experiment, how do you separate, or have you found, if there's resistance where you're sending this intention, let's say to peace, I mean, these people are in their emotions, and they're fighting, and da-da-da-da-da, is there some part of that individual that's resisting this that really doesn't want to resist, and that's sort of what we're tapping into with this kind of an experiment?
Well, what we try to do is we try to send an intention for both sides to just cooperate more. And so that it wasn't about one side being right over the other, but mm-hmm. about both cooperating and developing cooperation. And, you know, every side has a point, you know, no matter what conflict there is. Each person, each side of it has some sort of point, has some sort of rationale that has some validity. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about each understanding each other. So I suppose what we're really sending intention for is greater tolerance, love and tolerance. So I think that's present in everybody. They just want to be heard.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I thank you for allowing us to give you the opportunity to be heard here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and providing the various choices through these intention experiments to make our dreams come true. I know mine isn't to have a bigger, fancier car or a huge house. It's to have a much more cohesive existence with my fellow human beings.
Wonderful, and I think that's probably everybody's secret wish, Richard.
Lynn, thank you very much. Lynn McTaggart, author of The Intention Experiment, as well as The Field, and your new book when it comes out. We'd love to have you back on the program next year.
Thanks so much, Richard.
Thank you. Again, my thanks to Lynn McTaggart for joining us. She is the author of The Field and The Intention Experiment. And again, please check out the website, intentionexperiment.com, and also wddty.co.uk. That link is at her website. Her link is at my website, richarddugan.com. We're just all linked and networked. Well, next week we are going to talk with David Warner, and he is going to share his experiences of how he has begun the process. I shouldn't actually say begun, because he's been doing it for more than 20 years, the experience of having an out-of-body experience. He's actually doing it on a conscious level. And now, I don't know about you, but that sort of intrigues me, and we're going to find out how we might be able to learn how to do that if that's something we choose to do. If it sounds a little strange and out of this world to you, we ask you to tune in next Saturday. David Warner is going to be my guest, and we're going to talk about out-of-body experiences and people who have the OBE experience. Sounds kind of weird in one way, I suppose, trying to say it. But it's all connected with our discussions about transitioning and death and the other side and what's beyond this world. Or is there anything? Is this something he's making up in his head? And we've had other folks who have had these experiences, near-death experience. What's the difference between a near-death experience, an out-of-body experience? It's just one thing after another, and we're trying to understand where we are and where we're going next. And can we do it safely? Can we do it consciously? Are we going to wind up in heaven or hell? We just don't know for certain. We have the conjecture, just not 100% certain. So we hope you'll join us. David Warner, my guest next Saturday here on Tell Me Your Story. I encourage you to stay tuned to Tell Me Your Story. Go to the website, richarddugan.com, D-U-G-A-N, that's how you spell Dugan, D-U-G-A-N.com, and check out the programs. Check out the websites of my guests. And we ask you to send us an email. Let us know what you think. The number, the email address is richard@richarddugan.com. You know, I have a blog, too, if you'd like to leave comments there for the rest of the world to see. Comments about the program, comments about what we're doing here, and comments about your feelings as far as the subject matter. Until next Saturday at this same time, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or on the Internet as well. We stream live at richarddugan.com. Click on the link. Have yourselves a great weekend. Love to all.